Turn with me to 2 Timothy 1. We're going to start looking at verses 6 through 9. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 6 through 9. Now, you know that the Apostle Paul was writing to a young man, in this case, a youthful man. 2 Timothy chapter 1, we're going to start with verse 6. For this reason, the Apostle Paul writes to Timothy, for this reason I want to remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, of self-discipline. Then look what he says. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God who has saved us and called us to what? Holiness, or might says a holy life. God who has saved us and called us to a holy life. It's a wonderful thing to know you're saved. Amen? I mean, to know you're saved. To know that you've been covered by the blood of Christ. You know, who here tonight knows they're saved? Well, you right now, if you know that you're saved, just as the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy saying this, that who has saved us, would you just stand up right now? You know you're saved. Just you know it. Thank the Lord. Thank God. Will you do something else for me? Will you say with me, I'm a saved person. Will you say that right now? I'm a saved person. It's not a joke. If you're going to joke, then you know, about that, then... But because this is nothing to joke about. Will you say with me, I'm a purchased person? I'm a purchased person. Now think about what you're saying. Say with me, I believe in Jesus Christ.
I believe in Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
I mean, now, we've done that, and it's a little exercise, and you're all like, well, that's nice. But right now, I want you to say something from your heart. And you can only say it from your heart. You can only say it through the power of the Holy Spirit, the Apostle John tells us. So just don't say it. That's the worst thing you could do tonight, is just say it. Jesus is Lord. But hold it. It's got to come from here. You know what I mean? Not just the silly exercise that Brother Keith's putting you through. This has got to come right from here right now. Because you know you're saved. You know you've been redeemed. You know you've been purchased. You know you've been bought. You know that you're a child of God now. It's something settled and done in your heart. And it's through the Holy Spirit right now you can join me in saying, ready? Jesus is Lord. Praise God. Thank you. Sit down. Thank you. Now isn't that something? Do you know how important that is? Do you realize how important that is? That you say Jesus is Lord by the Holy Spirit? I'll show you. Because the Apostle Paul writes in Romans, listen to what he tells us. He says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. But did you hear what he said? If you confess with your mouth. He says, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich to all who call upon him. For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. And he states there in Romans 10 this. You have to confess with your mouth. You have to believe in your heart that Jesus was raised from the dead. How often do you confess with your mouth? You know, I'm asking myself, I ask you. How often do you say, you know, I have to tell you something, Jesus is Lord. Jesus reigns. Jesus is King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is worthy. You see why we get together in praise and worship? Someone, you know, they said, you know, I go to the chapel every Sunday, all we do. That chapel, at the chapel, all they do every Sunday is praise God. Like we're doing something wrong. Like we got it wrong. It's not, right? He is Lord, and we praise and we worship Him. You know, I thank God for this. I read in Isaiah 40, and many of you know this verse, all flesh is grass. And all its loveliness is like the flower of the field. The grass withers and the flower fades because the breath of the Lord blows upon it. Surely the people are grass. I read that in Isaiah 40 and I remember the day I said, but not me. I'm not grass anymore. This isn't talking about me. I'm not the subject of this verse. You know, all flesh is grass. No. See, something changed when I was saved, when I came under the cross of Jesus Christ, realized I was covered by His blood, that my sins were cleansed away because of His sacrifice. When I believed in my heart, yes, God, You raised Him up, something changed in me. It is, thank you, Brother Ken, because it is something to praise God about. I'm not grass. I'm not going away, folks. I'm not going away. That was bad news for some folks. But wonderful news for me. When I read that, you know what? That doesn't apply to me anymore. And thank God here tonight it doesn't apply to you. You know what applies to me? What Peter says in 1 Peter 23. Listen to this. For you have been born again. Now listen to what he says. Not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. Did you get that? I'm not grass seed. It's going to fade away. I'm going to be around because of the life of Christ. I'm sown imperishable seed. I went to... We had a thing by us, and I mention this sometimes to some of you might have heard this, but we have an event by us each autumn. It's changed, but it's Autumn Blaze. And what they do there is incredible. Have you gone, Dean? And it's tremendous because they started out by having this huge field, which they kind of roped off. Talk about a bonfire. They had a bonfire that... The bonfire was taller than this building. Not as wide, but really stacked up, Brother Tom. That's what we're looking for. You know, stacked up, stack it up, find things to burn. But they had a huge bonfire out in one part of this field. They had a stage and they hired some bands to come. I talked to one of the trustees and said, we're taking the young people to this event. At that time, it was only like, I don't know, $6 a person or whatnot. I said, we're taking it. It ended up being like, here we got there in this muddy field. It was drizzling a little bit. They had the huge bonfire going. It must have been that night, the first time we went, close to 1,000 or more than 1,000 kids in this open field, and it's getting dark. Bands are playing. I think at that time we must have brought 8 or 9 kids and this older trustee guy. And then the band started playing, you know? Oh, there were good bands there, like Cross Sections or whatever it was. I don't remember the name, you know? And they were playing away. But then they let the kids just all running all over the place, and we got closer to the stage, and there was this Christian mosh pit going on. Do you know what one of those are?
Yes.
Have you ever seen? I didn't ask you. You were in one. It's all right. You're going to be okay. You know, this is what's going on. You know, they're throwing things, and they've given out little, from the radio station, plastic containers. The kids are throwing them in the fire. It was a nut house. It's raining and drizzling. There's a kid. He's got this spiked haircut with pink tips like this. The rest of this is shaved. I'm not making this up. And they're walking around with no shirts on. You know, the trustee says to me, Pastor, you made a mistake. You know, we're leaning up against a fence, watching kids just do this mosh pit thing. The bands are playing. And he says, He says, we all make mistakes. And this was a mistake tonight. But I got to tell you what happened. A fellow by the name of Ron Hutchcraft gets up. It's time for the speaker now. And I'm like, hoo-hoo, this is going to be good. You know? This is going to be good. He gets up there. And he's got two things in his hands. He's got, in one hand, he has a paper plate. In the other hand, he's got what he said he took from his wife's china cabinet, some fine china. And he stands up there. I'm telling you, the whole crowd, for the most part, got quiet. And we're looking around, you know? They're not throwing things in the fire anymore. They're listening to this man. And what he said that night, I'll never forget. And I share it a lot because it made such an impression on my heart. He said, this is a paper plate. And this is fine china from my wife's china cabinet, who's not here tonight. And he said, you know what? Listen to me, young people. Some of you, Satan has convinced you're nothing but a paper plate in which I had lunch on tonight and today, and I'm going to throw out. But I'm here to tell you, it's a lie. You're fine china, and God meant you to be around. God meant you to be cherished. God meant you to be precious. We watched with our mouths dropped as he called young people to the altar. You hear how silent that is? That's how it was in an open field with over 1,000 kids. They're quiet. Kids started coming forward. And then they had this school over to the one side of the field. And they said, if you want Jesus Christ, go over to that school. We have counselors there ready to pray for you. And here was this huge line of young people. And I don't mean this silly. I'm not just trying to be funny. But in that line was this fellow with the spikes. We get inside the school, me and this trustee guy, and there's kids sitting on the floor, and some of them are crying, and counselors are telling them how they could be freed from their sins. Kids, I wouldn't give you a dime for, you know what I'm saying? They're hearing about Jesus. Why? Because they found out that they were meant to be someone loved, cherished. You know? Yeah, and even the guy, still with no shirt on and the spiked hair, giving his heart to Jesus. What kind of love is that? Right? It was amazing, and I'll never forget it. I'll never forget it. That trustee guy, he's going, we're coming next year. We're doing this next year. We got to do this next year. You know? He was convinced. That's great. God loves us. He loves us right the way we are. You know? That's the amazing thing. God loved a mess pot like me. He loved me so much, He convinced me. You know? It's wonderful. I got to tell you this, that second part that we read, so do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord or ashamed of His prisoner. The Apostle Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of our Lord. Or even Timothy, don't be ashamed of me, because I'm his prisoner. I'm going to ask you something. Has any of you ever been rescued? I mean, from a near-death experience? Would you raise your hand? Have any of you had that? You have? And anyone else? Just me and James? Yeah, okay, good. Dave? Yep. Have you? If I you know, sort of? You know, you have, Nick? Yeah, there's more. See, now you're getting braver, right? Yeah. It's a frightening thing, right? Frightening. You know, I had this happen to me. It affected my life pretty, for quite a while. I came into a phobia because of it. I lived by the shore. I went to the ocean with Brother Jonathan Schulteis. We both were lifeguards. We both had lifeguard experience and training. And we decided to go, you know, body surfing in the water, you know, things like that. which, well, that's another story. But we got caught in a riptide. Hey, have you ever experienced one of them? I tell you, within seconds, people on the beach were this big. And it was the most frightening thing. You know, we were just saying, oh, wait, let's go get another wave. Let's try to catch another wave. The next thing we look, and Brother Jonathan says, we better get back in. The people on the beach were that big. We were so far out. So we start swimming, you know. We start swimming and swimming, swimming. And guess what we're doing? Everything that that a lifeguard's taught not to do. It's supposed to swim diagonally, you know. We're swimming in like, we got to get in. I finally, when you're in those one of situations, panic just starts, starting from somewhere down here and just starts working its way up. And that panic came on me, and I was so exhausted, I said, John, I'm not going to make it. Not realizing that he was in just as much bad shape as I was. But you know, my cry to him for help, He didn't. The only thing he could do was come over, and he swam over to me. And with his swimming over to me, we started moving diagonally, you know. And then he put his foot down, and he could, you know, he was a tall guy, and it wasn't that deep. And he got us pushed in the right direction, and as quick as we got out, we got back in, threw ourselves on the beach. No sooner than we threw ourselves on the beach. When the lifeguards, who we were wondering where they were, we were wondering, like, hello, we were drowning first. But also we were thankful, like, we saved ourselves. They went and they pulled out this other poor guy who didn't fare as well. He was okay after they had worked on him. But you know something? Do you know, for months, even years, to this day, and this happened, I don't know how many years ago. You know what I say? Jonathan Schultheis saved my life. He did. I'm not ashamed to tell you. Around him, he's like, oh, well, I mean, I could touch bottom. He tries to make, you know. Jonathan Schultheis saved my life that day. He did. And I'm not ashamed. And I'll tell you something, I'm not ashamed to tell you Jesus Christ saved my life. Are you ashamed? Are you going to tell someone when you get home? You know, we got to stop this, they're going to think what I'm doing. You know, when you're born again, it's time to realize somebody saved your life. And the first time it's a little, I spent my high school days as, Jesus Christ personal W07, you know, secret agent. I did. I walked through the walls. You know, I work for the Lord. I'm in His kingdom. I'm a secret agent. Then I realized God don't have secret agents. You know? 00 nothing. But I remember my senior year. I decided, that's it. You know, God, I'm going to live for you. No more secrets. And so I made it that first year. You know, if you start out, some of you are going to be beginning, right? You start out right from the beginning saying, this is it. I'm not ashamed of Jesus Christ. And you know what? I'm not ashamed of His ministers. I'm not ashamed of the church I go to. I'm not ashamed of the people who go to that church, most of them. Some of them, it's not God's fault. You should be ashamed. Right? But I'm not ashamed. And I started that senior year saying, you know, here we go. First class. I'm going to, you know, that's when you got to start. You know, when they start with their off-color stuff, you know, you just move away. You know, what's the matter with you? You're going to get that. And when you do finally get what's the matter, you say, I heard that one before. Tempted to say that, right? You start saying, you know what? I'm a Christian. You got to say it. You got to do that. The Apostle Paul said to Timothy, don't be ashamed of your Lord. Don't be ashamed of your Lord. And don't be ashamed of me, his prisoner. You know? Come on. It's time we stand up, right? This is your generation. This is your call. This is your time. This is the day when you say, Jesus Christ reigns. And we need to do this. He said, don't be ashamed. And we won't be ashamed. Remember the day you were saved? Remember that? You always should remember that. And in fact, he had said this, the Apostle Paul, to Timothy. He said, fan into flame the gift of God. Fan that. That's why it's good to recall the day you said yes to Jesus. Absolutely. I want to remind us quickly here of the day I found Jesus. And you think along with me. Because even though it may be different places, different situations, different churches, you know what? It's the same event that happened to me that happened to you. Jesus got a hold of our lives. We were born again. No longer grass, but imperishable seed. The real thing. The real, real, real life. And, you know, three wonderful things happened. Number one, I discovered that day when I came to the altar to give my heart to the Lord, I discovered I was in danger. I discovered the weight and the gravity of sin. Do you remember that? Do you remember just feeling like, that stuff's going to kill me? And felt the gravity, because I know some young people, I know some older people too, who just don't feel the gravity of sin. Brother Matthew, the first Saturday night, made us to come to understand the gravity of sin. Remember that day when I came to the altar, I felt, you know what? Oh, I didn't realize I was dying of this. I knew there was something wrong. I knew it was corrupt, but I didn't know. But you know, that day at the altar, there was a revelation that this thing, I'm in danger, and this sin is killing me. The second thing was this. I discovered I had a Savior. Discovering Jesus Christ. Discovering all about Him. Thank the Lord for that. You know what? Three things came out of that. When I found Jesus Christ as my Savior, I came into the revelation that I was created, valued, and secured. Say that with me, in fact. Created, valued, and secured. Ready? Created, valued, and secured. That's because of Jesus Christ. And you know what? The day I left that altar, my friends couldn't define me anymore. They couldn't say, you're this or you're that. You know what? God had defined me that day. And what was His definition? He said, Keith, you're created. You're my creation. I created you out of love. Keith, you're valued. No matter what your friends, no matter what your enemies might say, whether you're not scaled, not the greatest trumpet player, whatever they say, it didn't matter what my talents fell short of theirs or whatever. God had begun to define me, saying, you're created, you're valued, and you're secure in me. You know what? And Sister Lisa's here. I was good friends with her brother and another friend, Frank. You know what started? God started to work in me where it didn't much matter what they thought. Because now the world no longer defined me. You know? God had defined me. What a freedom there is in that. You got to feel that if you haven't. Well, there's one last part of that. I discovered I was in danger because of sin. I discovered that I had a Savior. But this wonderful last thing, and Romans 8:16 describes this. And I hope you've experienced this. I hope that this is your testimony. You ready for this? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Did you hear that? The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. For His Holy Spirit speaks to us deep in our hearts and tells us that we are God's children. I remember that so well at that altar, that the Spirit of the Father spoke to my heart and said, you're my child. Have you experienced that? Because that'll change everything. That'll make all the difference. That'll take all the religion out of you. You know? all the stiffness and the start, you know, all that stuff that gets in our head. When you have God's Spirit just reach down and say, "You're my child." And you find, now you know the weirdest thing, strangest thing for me, is the day at the altar, Keith Schneider said, "Father, Father, my Father." You know? Had all that in church, "Our Father, we pray." But I my Father. You know, because His Spirit witnessed with my Spirit that I was His. That's wonderful. I'll tell you something, and make sure you get this clear tonight. You're special. You get that? You understand that? I know one minister said, "Don't go telling children that your Sunday school children they're special. They're going to think." You know, listen, you're special. If you've been born again, if you've been saved, now think about this. How ridiculous it is to think you're not special. Think about this. Come on, just bear with me tonight. God has gotten a hold of you. He's made His abode in your heart. His kingdom has come. Christ is dwelling in your heart. Don't tell me you're not special. You know what? The world hasn't seen the likes of you. Satan trembles at the fact that you should ever fan what God has done in your heart. You don't even know. In fact, he loves to minimize what wonderful work, what majestic power is taking place in your life. You need to fan that a little bit. You need to look inside. One time I was here in a meeting, one of the many pilgrim camp meetings. You know, it was pretty crowded, but not with young people, geriatrics. And we were some mixed. And we were together. My apologies. And it was a great meeting. It was a wonderful meeting. But then the meeting got silent. And I remember I was sitting right about here where Ben is. And, you know, it was just silent. Must have been silent, maybe. I don't know. I'm going to say it really went silent for like 30 minutes or so. And I was starting to daydream, you know, a little bit. Wander off there. And I was daydreaming that we were in a meeting. That I was in this meeting, and it was quiet. I don't make this stuff up. And I was sitting there just, you know, because it was quiet, it was hot. They didn't have these bulbs. They had the 100-watt bulbs in here. No fans. And real quiet. And I was dreaming and thinking how I was in this meeting, and it was real quiet. And Jesus shows up. But I mean, actually shows up. I mean, you know, sandals, long hair, beard. Really walks in. I mean, he really here. You don't get it. I mean, Jesus is really here. And he comes in and goes, as I'm thinking this, he goes, "Folks, come with me." And I'm thinking, this is cool. Because Jesus really says, "Come with me." And Reverend Gardner was here, and I'm thinking, you know, Reverend Gardner, and we all, the whole group would just, you know, I'm thinking how we follow Jesus, wouldn't, you know, and he takes us out to the dock at night, you know, and he says, "Look," and he showed, and we're all on the dock, all of us, as if the dock could hold us, and we're looking out, and there's all these stars. You know what I mean. You've seen them, right? You go out there, and it's just like, wow, that's awesome. And I'm thinking this, and I'm thinking, wow, that would be so great if that happened, you know? And even Brother Gardner is going, my, you know, and we're all taken up. We're just taken up with this ethereal scene of the glories of space. And I'm thinking to myself, I'm thinking, and Jesus is just sort of saying, you know, that's the, you know, I'm thinking he's just about to say, there's the Father, you know, there's the Father. I'm having this glorious, you know, fantasy in my head, you know. Just when it went, then all of a sudden, I just hear, Kate! you know, he didn't call Keith. But Brother Gardner said something, and the meeting started, and that was it. You know? But I was having myself a good time. You know? Because I thought, boy, that's a meeting. Jesus takes us outside. We see the stars. And he shows us the Father. You know, I had this, I said, that's a meeting. But I realized something. You know what? That is awesome. But when I thought about it later, you know what Jesus would say? I want to show you the Father. You know what he would do? You know what he would do? You know? But Ben, can I use you 1 minute? You're scared, aren't you? You know what? You know what I thought about this later when I went back to my lean-to. Here, just up here 1 minute. You're taller than me, so I won't do anything to embarrass you. But you know what? I started thinking about that. Like, God, that'd be so cool if Jesus took us outside, showed us the vast stars. Then I went back to my lean-to. Jesus wouldn't do that. Jesus would go, I want to show you the Father. Close your eyes and just look in your heart. You know? Because that's where I brought him. That's where, you see, that's what God's done. He's brought God right here. You know? Thanks, Ben. And that's where he's at. Were you embarrassed? What did I say about not being ashamed? You know, that's where the Father, that's where God is. And I just want to, I'm going to conclude tonight, sometime tonight. But you know what? You know, young people, listen to me. I spent a lot of time looking for God. I did. You know? You got to look right here. If you're born again, it's just what Brother Kenny said last night. You're holy. And sometimes you get caught up in everything. You look inside. God's done a work. Fan the flame. Say, you know, the enemy puts a lot of a beat down in you. If you start looking inside saying, God, I know that day you did a marvelous work. It'll make a difference. But I better conclude tonight. Here's the thing. It's wonderful being born again. Knowing you're saved. Knowing you're redeemed. That you're a purchased person. But I remember coming up to camp and seeing, it was a different sign, but holiness unto the Lord. And I remember hearing some of the saints of God. I've been privileged, as some others here, to have so many saints pray for me. Brother Gardner, Brother Edwin, Brother Wanamaker. I can think of Sister Margaret, Michelson, and so many of the missionaries who laid hands on me. Saints of God. And I remember hearing them talk about holiness. But I remember coming to camp and hearing them talk about holiness, and I remember saying, well, that's a nice idea. That sounds good. Uh-huh. Yeah. I mean, I'm glad I have Jesus in my heart. It's a wonderful thing to know you're saved. And the presence of the Lord is comforting and secure. But holiness now? I wrote some things down. And this is with my thought process, okay? It was a nice idea. But I had some problems with holiness. I wasn't quite sure what being holy was, unless it was what I thought it was, and if it was, then I wasn't interested. Second thing, it might mean reading my Bible and praying all day and never getting to see the Star Wars sequel. It's kind of ridiculous, right? But I was worried about that. It might mean having to stay single or marrying someone I hated, except when we were reading the Bible and praying all day and avoiding arguments about my going to see the Star Wars sequel. It might mean that I would increasingly add meetings to my life till the only thing I did all week was read my Bible and pray all day by myself or with the woman I hated, but married. But married because God told me to, and trying real hard not to think about the Star Wars sequel and wondering if the Force was with me. And lastly, it might mean that I had to wear clothes from the 20s or 30s, which, well, kind of back in style again, but, or never smile. or have a good laugh unless the pastor made a biblically correct observation on a portion of scripture that caused him to chuckle with impunity. And it was really okay to laugh because the woman I hated... I'm glad you find this funny. The woman I hated and whom God told me to marry cracked a smile for the second time in her life. The first time being when she was an infant, though in all probability it was gas. And it was all while we were praying and reading the Bible in one of the hundred thousands of meetings I attend a week. And rest assured knowing I'll never see the sequel to Star Wars. And mostly have to throw out all the action figures I secretly collected from Burger King. That was my idea of holiness. You know? Called unto holiness? I know it's humorous and I made it funny, but the truth is, as ridiculous as that sounded, and we laughed about it tonight, just as ridiculous was my concept of holiness. I didn't want to be holy. You know why? I'll tell you why. You want to, you know, you give me a few more minutes tonight, you'll have a late night fire. But you know what? Listen. You know why? I didn't want to be holy. I wanted to be saved. I wanted the comfort of God's presence. But I didn't want to be holy. Because I wanted to see the sequel to Star Wars. I did. I thought, you know, this holy business. Here was the other thing. For goodness sake, I was 16 years old. And I was just trying real hard to be me. You know? I was trying real hard just to discover who I was. To figure out, what, you know, who's Keith Schneider? I said, you know, and you're throwing holiness at me now? You want me to be holiness and God's going to give you a new heart and make you another person? I don't want to be another person. I just want to be me. I'm 16, 17, and just trying to make it in this world. And then when I heard call to holiness, and I looked around at those who were holy, you know, and they all had families and were married and seemed to be all settled and... And in my mind, it was like, cut me a break. You know? Cut me some slack. Thank you, I'm not interested. You know? I'm just being honest with you. If you can't handle it. But that's just where I was. Not only that, but God blessed me with maybe the worst personalities. You know? I like to joke. I like to kid around. You know, I like to have fun. And it was like, Keith, I don't know, God's never going to make you holy. You know? I'm just never going to get this holiness thing. I just don't know if I can obtain it. I don't think I could be it. I remember one time walking around here at camp. You know, I had a lot of fun. There were a couple of sisters here. They're a personal blessing in my life. But, you know, every time I went around, they said, you joke too much, brother. You joke too much foolishness. You know? And they were right. Too much. You're foolish, brother. You need to... You know? I got that. So, you know what? When they'd come around to some others, I would immediately, you know, I'd walk around. I just like this. I worked real hard on that because I didn't want to hear it. So I walked around camp, I see them coming, I see some other of the saints coming. Tried not to smile or joke. Had a great time in the lean-tos. They come around, I didn't smoke, you know. There was one sweet woman, Mrs. Meyer. Finally, she gets me, she says, Keith, the Lord is our joy. So she's getting me to talk about smiling and being happy. You know? And every time I saw Mrs. Meyer now, you know, she's giving me this speech about being, you should smile. The Lord's our joy. So I'm walking with her. I run into her over by the men's room there. She's giving me the speech. She slips and she falls. The last thing she saw was a smile on my face. I'm not making that up. Holiness wasn't interesting. I had trouble with that. But I got to tell you something. And you know what happened to me? I'm back home, Kingsburg. Sunday night meeting. Later on in my life, there's a call. There's an altar call. You know those things? There's an altar call. We had a few even here. And there's an altar call, and I'm getting it big time by the Holy Spirit, the God. I knew what an altar called, man. I know what altar... You know, things die on altars. You know? You know, think about it. Altar call. Things die on altars. I knew that. And I felt it. But I feel the Holy Spirit saying, Keith, this is your day. And I went to the altar. I couldn't help myself. You know what I did that day? I threw my pride to the wind. Because it was time. It was a day that God made for me. You know? And I went to that altar. And I'll never forget it. That I found a way at that altar. I found a way past myself. You know? Because the biggest roadblock on my journey to find God was me. Nobody else. It was just me. The biggest block to God leading me to holiness was me. And I died on that altar that night. I let it go. I said, okay, God. And some of you, God has been saying, this is your day. This is it. And I'm not going to go through it tonight, but I have this for every one of you. It's a bookmark. And I made an acrostic of the word holy, but this is what the Lord gave me that day at the altar. This is what the Lord gave me. This was my path away from myself to holiness. And you know, I found out that God doesn't make you another person. He makes you the person He intended you to be. And you'll find a lot of it is who you are, just a lot better. And you know what? I'm not going to read all the scriptures tonight. I want you to do that. I made up, I think, enough for everyone here. But this was the path the Lord showed me that night at the altar. H, humility. Humility is just letting God lead you, throwing your pride to the wind and just saying, Lord, it doesn't matter what people say or think of my friends. You know, God can work with somebody who humbles themselves. The verse there from Isaiah talks about it. Oh, was this obedience. You've got to come to it, folks. You got to come to the big yes. The eternal yes. God's not going to, you know, you can be saved and God's not going to be able to do anything with you till you finally say yes. And I had to do that. And L was this, love. You've got to let Christ love you. You've got to just let Him envelop you. You've got to be spiritually huggable, however you want to put it. And sometimes, you know, sometimes it's this. I don't want to stretch this out too far, but you know what sometimes it is? It's this, in a meeting. It takes humility, it takes obedience, but it takes more than anything love to just go like this. Here I am to worship you. Here I am to worship. Here I am to bow down. And you raise your hands. You know, that Camp Haycock was a Baptist camp. They weren't used to that. And one night, they were too dumb to realize where I was going with this. And I said, let's raise our hands like this. So they, you know, they were Baptists. They do what you say. They follow the word. And they raised their hands. And I started that chorus, what we even sang tonight. Here I am to worship. And, you know, they started worshiping. And a few of them came to me and said, I never felt Jesus so close. You know, that's what they said. Those dumb Baptists. No. I love them. You know, they say, I never felt Jesus so close. It takes love. But here's the last thing. Why? You gotta let God yield things from your life. You know? That's the one verse I think I'm going to read. It says this. But the one who received the seed that fell on good soil is the man who hears the word and understands it. He produces a crop yielding 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. God wants you to begin to yield good fruit out of your life. That's the way path to holiness. Just let God do what He does best in your life. And we're going to close. Is that the third time I said it? Because that's usually when I do close. Eight. You know, There's a wonderful, wonderful thing that I discovered. I want to share it with you. That on our path, on our road following Jesus, and as He makes us, He leads us into holiness, because He will lead us into holiness, I found out a treasure that I'm going to leave with us tonight. It was a treasure to me, you know? Like if I found $1 million and I said to you tonight, I want to share it with this group particularly. Keep dreaming. But this is a treasure. This is the treasure. And I have it right here. Just listen to this. And I promise you I will end with this. The Apostle Paul writes to the Ephesians and he says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also that ye believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then he says, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory. I like it in the New Living Translation. It says this: the Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us everything He promised and that He has purchased us to be His own people. This is just one more reason for us to praise our glorious God. You know what that is telling us? We don't have to claw and bite and, you know, kind of just be one of these kind of saints where I'm getting the glory, you know. I found that out. That's a release to me. The Apostle Paul said, hey, God has a wonderful inheritance for us. It's glorious. And while you're on this pilgrimage down here, I want to give you a guarantee that what I'm promised you is absolutely true. You ready for that? There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it's ours. There's a baptism in the Holy Spirit, and it's yours. There's not one stepchild of God in here. Now, maybe this isn't for everyone here, but that's not God's fault, that's your fault. There's a baptism that you can experience, and you know, all of the questions, all the doubts, all the wonder, all the strain, it's gone. Why? Because it's a guarantee of our inheritance. It's like God saying, you want a little bit of heaven? You want to know this thing's real? You want to have the assurance and the confidence? You want to have an absolute absolute power in your life that says, you know what? Not only is this great, but I'm going for more. You don't have to just say, I have to endure meetings and I have to, you know, if my life, all that nonsense the enemy throws at you. You can have a taste of glory. I know I spoke long tonight, and I apologize. Sort of. But before we leave here tonight, you ready to maybe start a journey tonight that's fantastic? It's awesome. I never thought I would receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I was such a clown, you know? Still am. But I thought, not me. There are more saintly vessels that look more like they could be filled with the baptism. And maybe even speak in tongues, but not me. I'm so fleshly, you know. I used to say to Brother Paul, he said, oh, it's Keith. I said, in the flesh, as usual. Then God filled me with the Holy Spirit. You know what? That was it for me. I got a guarantee of my inheritance. You don't need to describe heaven to me. You know? I don't have to dream about, well, the glories and that. In fact, what Brother Matt read to us tonight is all packaged in the baptism. It's all there. The glories of Jesus Christ, the Lamb. And so tonight, without saying any too much more, will you join me if you haven't? Begin tonight. If you haven't, begin tonight and say, God, I want my baptism. You have one for me. Now maybe God will baptize you tonight. I believe He will. Oh, but I'll miss the bonfire. No, you won't. See, don't buy that stuff. Maybe God will baptize you tonight. You'll taste the fire what Brother Kenny mentioned last night. You'll taste the fire that you'll say, I never knew this existed. I just never knew it could be this way. Begin the journey tonight. Say, Lord, we're going to spend some time. And you know what? We're going to ask God for the promise of the Father. Because He has it for this generation right here. This generation. needs to be set on fire for God in a way that you never imagined could happen. And God has it for you. He's waiting to give it to us. So let's come tonight. Let's, you know, Brother Matt, could you lead us in that song that you mentioned? And we can go to our knees or you can sit. But let's begin to ask for the earnest of our inheritance.